Welcome everyone to all that are here and to all that will be listening later on today from our church website. After worship, please introduce yourself to our guest preacher, Reverend Ma M. Song. As most of you know, Ma has been with us many times, and we are glad he and his family are with us today and are looking forward to his message. Now let us quiet our minds and souls as we listen to Marilyn play the prelude. Once again, if anyone is here for the first time, would you please fill in a welcome card that is located on the back table as you exit the church. And please also include your email address if you do have one. Announcements for today. There is a rim bulb sale ongoing now. And the forms are available till October 10th. And they are the forms are in the back table. Also, there's pictures of the flowers that are on the back wall that you can look at so you can see what type of flowers that you like. And Marilyn passed on to me today that we received from the American Baptist Women Ministries of Massachusetts a certificate of appreciation that was awarded to the First Baptist Church of Malden, Massachusetts, in recognition of completing the 8 steps of giving for 2021. And this will be posted by Marilyn and later on in the sanctuary. If we are lacking in wisdom, we are invited to ask God, who gives to us all generously and ungrudgingly, but we are to ask in faith, never doubting. Come, let us with boldness and assurance seek the wisdom that comes from God. We must confess that not all of us were eager to come here this morning. For some of us, it was tempting to relax at home. Some of us could have gone golfing or shopping or visiting. But we have made a valued decision, and we have chosen to come to this place. We are confident that you will receive us, will inspire us, will cleanse us, and will send us on our way rejoicing. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. Amen. And let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Bring me back to you. Christmas. Good to see all of you, and I think it is a wonderful time for us to come together to the house of the Lord as community members of the First Baptist Church of Marlin. And it is very important time for people of God when we are gathered to open our hearts and lift up our minds, everything to God in prayer. And that is a sacred thing to do, and it is an important function of a local church. As people of God, when they are gathered, God is here, and God will hear both our spoken and unspoken prayer. I heard about Torodi Bobson, is it? The one with the hip surgery. If there is any other prayer concern or celebration that you would like to lift up in this church family, I invite you to do that. All right. Good. I'm sure you have already a lot of thought in your mind that you can open our hearts and look to God in prayer. Let us pray. We are gathered here in your name. God, we thank you for your presence this morning in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for listening to our prayers that is spoken and also in our heart as we come together here in your humble throne of grace to submit all our supplication and intercession so that our God can hear. God, in the midst of all the suffering and pain that we go through, we are thank you, Lord, that you are with us, going through all the pains and ache and challenges that we face in our lives. For those people, those who are going through sickness, with discomfort, Lord, I pray that you will really make your presence known as we lift up the people in our prayer. And the healing that only you can give, the wholeness of life, the healing of our physical, spiritual, and total being of our life. We also pray in the midst of our experience of death and missing our loved one. In the midst of all this absence, Lord, we pray for your presence. We pray for your comfort. We come to you as a refuge so that you will give us strength and understanding and to go through with all this cycles of life that you have given to us. We also remember especially for the First Baptist Church of Malden, as the church family go through this discernment process of calling a pastor, after a pastor who have been here for more than 20 years. Lord, sometimes it is difficult for us to comprehend what our future holds, but helps all the leadership of this church to give their focus directly in your sight, so that whatever direction the church is going will conform to your will, and this church will be continue to be a beacon of light here in the center of Malden, the diversity that is being growing every day here in this city. And the challenges that we face, uphill tasks of trying to make our church more relevant and effective and attractive, to really spread the gospel, to be your hands and feet, and to be your voices to the people here in our community. Help us move beyond where we are now, and maybe really bring energy, vitality, and the great passion for promoting the values of the kingdom of God. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For our meditation, I've chosen two scripture passages. And I think sometime with my finger, I typed the verses a little bit shorter than what I intended to have. So the first reading is from the Hebrew Bible, 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 1 through 12. It's not just through 7, but 1 through 12. 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 1 through 12. And I will read this by myself, but for the readings of the New Testament, which is very familiar passage, I'm sure we all have the Revised Standard Version Bible in your pew. If you don't, get it, because I will be asking all of us to read together the second passage from the Gospel according to John. So the first reading is from the Hebrew Bible, chapter 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1 through 12. Now when the king dwelt in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies round about. He is about King David. The king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the Lord dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go do all the things in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But the same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell your servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I had moved with all the people of Israel, I did speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pastures, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people of Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people of Israel. And I will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place, and be disturbed no more, and violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly. From the time that I have appointed judges over my people of Israel, and I will keep you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, you Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, and you shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. May the Lord add his blessing to the readings and hearing of his holy word. Now for the second passage from the Gospel according to John chapter 4, verse 19 through 21. It's not a long verse, so I would invite you to please open your Bible and we will read this together. John chapter 4, verse 19 through 21. 4, 19 through 21. Are we ready? All right, let's read together. The woman said to him, I'm not hearing you read. Do you have the Bible, right? Okay, let's read together. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our father worship on this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Women, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. May the Lord bless each and every one of us as we read this Holy Scripture. Let's look to God in prayer. God, as we are gathered here to reflect on the word that is given to us this morning, I ask that you will speak to each and every one of us, and especially, Lord, as your servants stand here in this holy place, to be your representatives, to interpret and to lead our people here to meditate and understand this word. Use your servant so that I will be able to speak your word, and we all will be blessed to receive the gospel that you have for each and every one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have heard two passages, one from the 2 Samuel and the other from John. And I would like to invite you to reflect and meditate and work on it together, okay? So we will work on it together from these two passages. So the first passage from Samuel is about King David, so much concerned about the ark of the covenant to be kept in a much more beautiful place than a tent, right? A tent is a temporary place that they pitch, but David was aging. He is a war veteran, and he has fought many wars, and now he has destroyed all his enemies, and at this age, he was thinking, I am living in this beautiful palace made of cedar woods, but the tent, the Ark of the Covenant, is there in the tent. So he asked Prophet Nathan, go and build a sanctuary, a beautiful place for the Ark of the Covenant to be kept. What is the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant in Hebrew is Aron HaBerit in Judaism. And this is actually an ornate gold-plated wooden chest where they kept the law, the commandment that Moses had received in Mount Sinai. And what has been happening is that ever since the Exodus, in their journey, they put the tablets there in that Ark of the Covenant, in that chest, wooden chest, and carry it along everywhere they go. And wherever they go, they will pitch a tent to keep that Ark of the Covenant. So that was the practice that they were doing. So when David asked Prophet Nathan from the passage that we have read, it looks like Nathan was so appreciative of the thoughts of King and said, I will do as you say. I will definitely build a beautiful building for the Ark of the Covenant. But it looks like after Nathan and David had that conversation, that night when Nathan was sleeping, the Lord came and spoke to Prophet Nathan. And the Lord spoke to him and said, well, am I not the one who have been walking with you all through the wilderness when you were a shepherd? And am I not the one who has been leading and be with you in your presence wherever you go? And now you are saying that you are going to build a house for me? And what did the Lord say to Prophet Nathan? No, you are not going to build a house, but rather I will raise up someone from your offspring, and that person will build a house. Who is the one that you think God is mentioning? That there will be an offspring from King David's, and it is that person who will build the temple of God, who will build all this great nation of God. Perhaps it may be someone, the other king, who actually end up building a temple, or I don't know. I think it is referring to maybe perhaps to Jesus Christ, who was of David's offspring and did build the kingdom of God. So actually, what happened actually? Right after David's retirement, because he is already in his old age, that was the wish of his father. So what happened? King Solomon, David's son, built the Jerusalem temple, if you remember the history correctly. And in that Jerusalem building, Jerusalem temple, they built a very special place for the Ark of the Covenant. If you remember correctly, the structure of the building of the Jerusalem temple, the outer particles, like the porch area, was for the Gentiles and for the women. You know, that was the place when all those market people were using that as a marketplace. That Jesus cleansed the temple. You know the story about that. The inner particle was what you call for the Jewish rabbi and Jewish man. And there was another particle which was called the Holy of Holies. And it was in the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant was kept in the Jerusalem temple. And it was so holy that nobody could go to that Holy of Holies because it is there the Ark of the Covenant is kept. And only the chief priest would go once in a year to that Holy of Holies on the Day of the Atonement, Yom Kippur. The Hebrew people have just observed Yom Kippur a week ago. It was during that festival, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the chief priest would go to the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood of the ram. That's how that place was gapped. So actually, I am sometimes thinking whether we do the same thing from time to time. We try to keep God in a safe place. You know, God, you hang in here, okay? God, you stay here. And I will come and worship you. I will come and adore you. And from time to time, whenever I feel good on Sunday, I'll come and worship. And then I'll go. I hope we are not keeping God like that in a holy of holy, in a place encapsulated. You know, God is encapsulated. It is literally God is boxed there in that wooden chest with the golden ornaments, right? In the holy of holies. And they do all the rituals. And the chief priest goes once in a year to that place. Many times, I think, many religion has been created where God is gapped and enshrined with a place, with a location. Perhaps I think it is quite true when French sociologist Emile Durkheim talks about how religion was started. According to Emile Durkheim, I don't know how many of you have been student of sociology of religion. Durkheim says that religion started with a belief in the totem. So what happened? My totem was a rock, okay? My forefathers was that rock, from there I came, and that's why actually it is totemic belief, right? Totem. Or my totem is a big tree, right? So what happened actually? Religion started, literally what it means, worshiping our own self, right? If it is a totem. So actually sometime I think we create a religion that look like us, that practice our culture, that think like us, and we wanted to encapsulate the religion and fabricate it and further and create that religion. If that is correct, if religion is started from the totemic belief. So actually, if we look at very carefully, many times I think that's what happened. Human being creates a kind of a religious tradition that is very comfortable to you or to me and to us. And then we try to create a God that look like us, that think like us. A God that does not challenge you or challenge me. A God who is all the time confining to the comfort zone of where we are. I'm not saying that that's what we do here in First Baptist Church, Malden, but there is a tendency and there is a danger of creating our religious practice very much to a location, very much to a culture, very much to a self-centered interest. And I think it is because of that, if you read Acts chapter 7, verse 48 to 49, what does it say? I'm reading from the International Version. I think we all know this passage very well. It says in Acts, however, the Most High do not live in a building made by human hands. I'm not exaggerating. This is what the scripture says. And the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house can you build for me, declare the Lord? Or what place is there in which I can rest? Right? That's what exactly what is there in the Acts of the Apostle. This is not the word of Maryam song. This is the word of God from the scripture. God is bigger than what you think you are. God cannot be confined to one culture or one language or one tradition or one place. That's exactly what God says. But that God, who is so big, who is so transcendental, who is so majestic, who is beyond comprehension, who cannot be explained, became flesh, right? In a person called Jesus Christ. So I've said this before, I think, in this church. John chapter 1, verse 4, what does he say? The Word became flesh and tabernacle among us. Okay, that's the word used, tabernacle among us. The Word became flesh, and what did he have? And pitched a tent among us, right? The Word became flesh and did not move to a structured building. But the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Actually, the Message Bible translates very well. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. All right? That's what the Message Bible says. So when the Word became flesh, did not go to the Holy of Holies that King Solomon had built. When the Word became flesh, he moved in where the people are. What an irony for what we think. So, this is a task that I am inviting you to think. I would like you to think that the church is a verb. And of course, all those linguistic people, I'm not expert in English. I speak English with the accent and all this, but I'm trying to argue that the church, the word church, is a verb rather than, you know, a designated place or an organization, a dynamic point for us to think about moving forward. And that's the message that I'm trying to challenge First Baptist Church Malden in your discernment process of calling a pastor and moving forward, casting vision. I would like the First Baptist Church Malden to think that the church is a verb. Stop thinking about this, about all the structure or the place that you think about it. Yes, I know it is not grammatically correct to say that the church is a verb because it's a noun in the English dictionary. But I would like you to think that the church is actually a place where we continuously are in movement, where we are continuously moving, where we are continuously acting and doing. Actually, as a kid, I used to think that the church is boring. I don't know how many of you have thought that. And I don't know whether still people, those who are not coming to the church, may consider that the church is boring, right? Because there is one person speaking and lecturing, like me, I'm lecturing now, and you just have to passively listen to that. Or one person singing and entertaining, and then you are looking at the back of someone's heads from the back because we are sitting in a pew, very inactive, a boring place. But what I'm challenging you to do is that, can we think of church from a different vantage point? Can we think of church as a verb, as an activity, as a movement that is a tent, a temporary tent that we have pitched, and we keep moving and moving and then doing the ministry of the Lord? So the first thing is, of course, I'd like to invite all the people here, and of course invite even other people, those who are not here, perhaps other people listening virtually, go to church. Okay? So when you go to church, there is an activity, right? So we need to go to church. Because I feel that the community of people coming together is important. So we need to go to church and spend time to engage with one another, expecting what God is doing in our community, in your life, and share the joy. Learn from one another, listen to one another. So this is a community when we are engaging and involving and all the time growing, exchanging ideas and questions, theological questions, biblical questions, whatever is happening in your spiritual life, that is being shared, that is being engaged, that is being challenged sometimes. So that's what we all need to do. Go to church. And the second one is, do church. Okay? A popular sentiment among many forward-thinking believers is that doing church. I get that. The desire to move past passive sitting in a place, but rather with doing church. Though we can sometimes do this a little bit more when we consider that, you know, we do church because church is not this place. Church is you and I. Finally, be church. So, the church here does not end, but the church that you carry moves on to your work, to your neighbors, to your families. So be a church. Be a spokesperson. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Can we do the same thing? All right. Finally, of course, the other scripture passage, which I'll just spend a few minutes and we will close, is the conversation that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman. And he said, "Believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship here in this mountain or in Jerusalem, but the true worshiper will worship in spirit and in truth." So believe me, the Samaritan who were worshiping near Mount Sichem, or the Israelites who were worshiping there in Jerusalem temple, the hour is coming. Neither in Mount Gerizim or in Jerusalem you will worship, but the true worshiper will worship in spirit and in truth. So Jesus' statement here is very, very powerful. Because we are not supposed to be doing church just in Jerusalem. You are not supposed to be doing church just in that mountain. But the true worshiper will be worshiping everywhere. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus died on the cross. You know, when Jesus took his last breath, that's exactly what happened. The Holy of Holy, where the Ark of the Covenant, the curtain was torn apart. What does it signify? A true worshiper will worship everywhere, because I cannot be confined and gapped and domesticated in that Holy of Holies. That exactly happened when Jesus died on the cross. And on another occasion, what happened? When disciples were in fear, uncertain, almost like this COVID situation, not knowing what to do, in the upper room, when they were praying, the Holy Spirit came and exploded. And the gospel was preached in Samaria and Judea and to the end of the world. So let's be a church that is outward. Let's be a church that is moving forward. And God has gone before you think that we have gone there. May God bless you. People of God, our worship here in this location, in this sanctuary, is over. But our worship in the community is just beginning. As we go from this place, may you be the church in the community where you are. May you be the spokesperson of God's love and tell that there is someone who cares and loves for you. May you be the person who speaks about the saving works of God and transforming work of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and be a blessing. Amen.